Here we are reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We have Pastor Joshua sharing. This letter comes to chapter 7. It's actually part of the chapter 6. The title for today is, We Must Have a Broad Mind. With broad mind comes good result. Our mind is broad enough, we will have a good result. Paul continued to urge Corinthian church to have a broad mind. So you need to receive pruning. And you need to be pruned. You need to be clashed. With a broad mind, you receive the reminder from your authority, the urging and the encouragement and pruning. First paragraph is from verse 1 to 4. Here, Apostle Paul explain why we need a broad mind. Because I didn't owe you anything. I was not in debt to you at all. In chapter 6, verse 11 to 13, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts too. Chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. So Paul wrote three letters before this. His words were straight. He was rebuking, scolding them. And here Paul says that my heart opened wide to you, my mouth opened wide to you too. And you should open wide your hearts to me as well, because I am your father. I'm talking to you this way because I love you as a father. The way that I speak to you shows that I love you. I'm your father. Do not listen to those who are against me. Do not hold an opposing attitude. Do not reject me. Then you must repay me with an open heart. Now, chapter 6, verse 14 to 18, and then chapter 7, verse 1. Why do you have to open wide your heart to me? Why? Because you are the temple of the living God. Verse 16 of chapter 6. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Because we are the temple of God, and God promised that He would dwell among us. God said, I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters. You are the temple of the living God. And God said, I want to be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters. I want to dwell among you. Because we have such promise. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friend, let us purify ourselves from envying everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness. God promised to dwell among us. Our body is the temple of the living God. So everything that I just said, the Paul's letter, I told you to fear God and cleanse yourself, sanctify yourself, because that's the promise of God. Why do we go into adultery? Why do we eat the food sacrificed to idol, or we worship idols in the temple and eat food? All these are against our promises. We belong to God. God is our Father. He wants to dwell among us. So that's why we must be holy. Purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. I'm speaking some harsh word. My mouth is wide open. That means I will speak whatever is in my mind. Whether you like it or not, I will say it. Because my heart is wide open to you. My heart is a father's heart. I love you. You are the temple of the living God. God wants to dwell among you. So that's why you must listen to me. Your heart must be wide open to me, because it's for your holiness. It's for God to dwell among you. That's why I'm strict, I'm harsh to you. And you must listen to my word with an open heart. I speak to you in such a straight way. In fact, I love you. Look at it. Verse 2 to 4 here. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. I say so harsh to you, not to benefit myself. Verse 2. Make room for us in your heart. Verse 2. Make rooms for us in your heart. Your heart must be wide opened. You must give us room. You must take in my words that make room for me. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. Verse 2. I said of you this way, I scold you this way. It's not because we have wronged you. We are corrupting no one, we are exploiting no one, wrong no one, saying this. Verse 3, I do not say this to condemn you. I've said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. And Paul said, I would rather be with you. It's better for me, for Paul, to leave the world because he can be with Christ. But I'm willing to be with you as well, in order to help you, in order to teach you, in order to love you. I'm full of love for you. I'm not saying this to condemn you. Everything I say out of my father's heart to you. Father's talking to you not to condemn you. Father speaks to you in order that you may repent. So do not listen to those who oppose me. Who says that Paul wronged me or whatever. But I am your father. I'm saying some harsh words because I love you. Look at my heart. I would rather die or live with you. We are one. We are not against each other. Do not gang up on me. Do not gang up on me or deny my authority over you. Think that I'm trying to exploit you. But my heart is wide open to you. Verse 4, I have spoken to you with great frankness. I have spoken to you with frank frankness. I would just say whatever in my mind. It's not just to flatter you. I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to teach you. It's for your eternal life. You are the temple of the living God. From that point of view, I speak to you. I take great pride in you. I'm greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds. Verse 4. Okay, I must tell you the background of this verse. Why suddenly Paul say that, you know, here he say that I open wide, you know, I'm scolding you, I'm pruning you, and then suddenly he says that I take pride, take great pride in you, I'm greatly encouraged in all your troubles, my joy knows no bounds. Why? That doesn't, these two doesn't flow, doesn't make sense. All the letters Paul has written, he knew that the Corinthian didn't want to listen to him and thought that Paul was foolish, Paul was impulsive. And God, that's why Paul said, you are king to yourself. You make yourself king. But I'm naked. You have a good life, but I'm having a hard life. As Paul went to Macedonia, he left Ephesus because after the revival in Ephesus, there were a great turmoil in Ephesus. The Jews were trying to kill him, going after him. That's why he said, I take great pride in you. So at that time, Paul had already sent Titus to the church. Before Titus, Paul boasts about a Corinthian church. So he greatly boasts about a Corinthian church before Titus. And then he told Titus, go ahead, they will listen to you. Their hearts are wide open. Now they are just being convinced by the bad people. Now we must tell them the truth and tell them about our hearts of love. They are willing to listen to you. They will change. That's the word of Paul. That's why it says here, I take great pride in you. I'm greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds. That's the faith of Paul in Corinthian church. He sent Titus ahead. You go ahead, Titus. They will listen to you. Even though they were in a great mess, but they will listen to you. They are the fruit of gospel. They are my children. That's Paul's word to Titus. Paul believed the Corinthians will repent because Paul had not wronged anyone. I have been really good to them. Now they have gone off track. They have deviated, but I'm going to tell them the truth. They have gone off track. I will give them the truth, the true light, and the true feeling. I will clash them, confront them. Just tell them, Titus, that I love them. They will believe that I love them. I believe that they will be okay. They will get over it. They're willing to listen. Even though Paul is in all troubles at that time. At that time, Paul and his company were being pursued, chasing after by the Jews coming out, they fled from Ephesus, the Bible school at Ephesus. That's the Bible school at Tyrannus. Because the turmoil was so great, he was in great danger. So he fled from Ephesus, Tyrannus. That's why he arrived at Philippi and Macedonia. At that place, the Jews continued to try to take their lives. But even though he was being killed, people trying to take his life, he was in all troubles. He was downcast. He was the target of the pursuit of the killing. He was in all trouble. But he believed the Corinthian church. Their hearts will be open and they will be willing to listen. So his joy knows no bounds. That's the joy in faith. To us, all cell leaders, co-workers, you must take it to heart. Take this word to heart. That's the heart of us to our sheep, to the brother and sister under our discipleships. We must have the heart of Paul and that kind of faith as well. A lot of time, we'll be happy if people listen to me. If you do not listen to me, I'll be sad, I'll be frustrated, or have broken relationship. But here, Apostle Paul, his word was so straight, you can see, so harsh. But he still had faith. He still had that love for the Corinthian in his heart. He still boasts. The word in the letter was harsh, but he boasts in the church of Corinthian. He believed that they would listen. Then he was comforted. In all troubles, his joy knows no bounds. Now, verse 5 to 7, explaining what I just mentioned. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Verse 5 to 6. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him, he told us about your longing for me and your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Verse 7. Verse 5 to 16. So Titus brought good reports back to Paul. What a good report. Your hearts must be wide open to me. And then the first paragraph we just mentioned, because I have wronged no one. Paul has wronged no one. And here it says that your hearts must be wide open to me. Because there will be good reports. There will be good reports. So Titus returned to Paul after visiting Corinthian church. Now he told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Then I was further comforted. Not only did I believe that you will listen, and now I knew that you did listen. So Titus told us about your situation. And verse 8, even if I cause you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. his previous letters caused them sorrow. Know that it hurt you. The letter hurt you. So I regret it. But then later on, I knew that you listened. So the sorrow is only for a little while. So now I rejoice. Now I'm happy. Not because you were made sorrow, verse 9. Not that because my letter hurt you. No, that's not the reason. But because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so we were not harmed in any way by us. You read the letter, you were hurt. But from this sorrow comes repentance. That sorrow is godly. The sorrow is in godly manner. It's the manner that we fear God. That's how we repent with sorrow. But that sorrow is of God, not of the world. But it's a godly sorrow. It's a sorrow that led to repentance. Verse 10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets. But worldly sorrow brings death. But worldly sorrows brings death. In the past, when Corinthians received Paul's letters, those who opposed Paul would say, Paul wants us to die, to perish. Paul's aim is to hurt us. He is not good to us. He has wronged us. He opposes us. He doesn't like us. That's why he said to us this way, we must reject him. But Paul saying here, I speak to you in a true light, true relationship, and true relationship, feeling. In the past, when my letter hurt you, I regretted it too. But as your sorrow is in godly manner, then you actually brings repentance that leaves no regrets and leads to salvation. My letter is to bring you salvation, bring you to turn you into repentance. This is truly my heart. And God truly protect your heart. That's why you can have this godly sorrow. My letter is not to bring you death. But the worldly sorrow brings death. My letter is not of that, because my heart for you is of love. I speak to you as a father. Brother and sisters, when your authority speaks some harsh word to you, do not mistake their motives. She doesn't like me, that's why she scolds me. You must think, she scolds me because she loves me. That's what Simo always tells me. I'm not trying to scold you, I'm just trying to remind you. I'm clash you. You know, it takes a lot of effort to clash you. It needs to take a lot of my feeling to clash you, and it's dangerous. It's a lot of hard work. If I do not love you, I would not even bother to clash you. If I do not highly cherish you, why do I not just clash any stranger? No, I didn't. You are related to me. I love you. That's why I want to clash you. I clash you. I scold you because I love you. I remind you not to scold you. But at that time, I was really weak. when you are being scolded or reminded you are not happy, especially for you have given like a great sermon, you look forward to her praises. I said, over time, mark deduct. No, that's not right. You did it over time. But Simo has reminded me not to go over time for 30 years. 30 years. It's only the beginning of last year I start to get better. Every one of you testify to that, right? I have made up my mind. I need to finish on time. So when I was weak, my Simo clashes me. I was like, Simo said that I'm helping you. And I said to her, no. You are slapping me. You are like giving a knock in my head. A banging me, something like this. I helped you and I'm like banging on your head. So that sounds a bit similar in Chinese. So that's why Paul was like trying to, you know, banging on his head, banging their head, trying to wake them up. Our hearts must be wide open. That's why Paul said, your heart must be wide open to me and repay me, because it takes me a lot of hard work to clash you. In fact, I love you. You think I am good, but I have not listened to Simo about finishing on time for 30 years. I'm not that good. I never finish on time about my preaching, but praise the Lord. After reminding me for 30 years, now I'm much better, aren't I? Now I have three more minutes. 8:45, I should finish. But then when I was teaching, I didn't finish on time. Last week, remember? Wow, the expository preaching. How great. I felt so good. Wow. You know, the message goes far, far away. Wow. I felt so good about myself afterwards. When I was so overjoyed, it was 2 o'clock, you know? 3 minutes past 2. It should have finished at 1 o'clock. But then because the students are more accommodating, so we finished 1:15 or 1:30. But that day I was overjoyed. I lost the time. I was so happy. It's like you deliver a baby. Wow, after this lesson, I have been teaching this for 10 years. This time, it was really, really good. Now, I really understand. I was able to pass it on. Oh, my joy knows no bounds. But then when I went back to office, then I thought, oh, no, Simo was waiting for me. No, I need to finish as soon as possible. And after prayer, the meeting dismissed the class. And then I saw Simo with a knife coming at me. Big knife. A sword. Oh, I don't even know. Like that's his inner heart. No, that was never a sword. Don't worry. No, don't worry. I was like, praise the Lord. I just finished. If I was still on stage and she coming at me. So Simo rushed to me, before me. Ah, what? Finished? So she's all like, okay, I let you go this time, Simo. And I say, so you came out like this, you couldn't kill me. How do you feel, Simo? So I dodged the knife, the sword. So she was like, as we play with each other, it's a fun. She's trying to help me. She needs to take up her sword in order to help you. I told you to be on time. Finish on time. I finished preaching on time. I could finish preaching on time, but I can't finish teaching on time. No, you need to finish teaching on time as well. Okay, my wife. This is something that I need to improve on. I need to strive to finish teaching on time, finish MD on time, but I can't finish today at the end. So Titus brought good report. Because the godly sorrow brings repentance and salvation. So I will finish here. On time, praise the Lord. That's the end of message. Whoa.